Shalom, this is Billy Brim and my son Terry. And we're here at Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks with the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast today. And this is the week of our country's 236th birthday. Here on Prayer Mountain, we're very cognizant of America and its need for an awakening. And I'm going to read to you how this came about out here. I'm reading to you from this book, Letters to My Partners, from Billy Brim, from August 2008 to October 2011. And we have so much wonderful, rich material in here, Terry, when I was reading it over last night. It started on Sunday, June 29th, 2008, at our 3 p.m. corporate prayer meeting on Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. 40 or more faithful prayers were praying about the then upcoming American elections in November, about Israel and the nations. Especially united, we seemed to pray as one man. And we reached a place that was high and somewhat unfamiliar. Then, as in Acts 13:2, the Holy Spirit said, "The spirit of prophecy fell powerfully upon me, and in a strong voice this utterance poured past my lips. One thing will save America, and it is not the election. It is an awakening to God. One thing will help Israel and the nations. It is an awakening to God." We were silenced in our petitions, even rebuked. Our hearts listened for more. More words came. And at the same time, spirit-inspired thoughts sped through my mind. The best person in the world could be elected president, and it wouldn't help if America did not awaken to God. Another thought that came to me was conviction. How could you possibly think that a party or a person could be enough to get America out of her mess? And then I thought of America, American history, the Great Awakening, prayer, study. And so I did that. I began to study. And in my studies, I came across there was a Great Awakening in Ireland and in America in 1857 through 59. Not the first Great Awakening, but there was another Great Awakening. And when it would wane, things would wane in America, God would bring another awakening. And a man writing about the awakening in Ireland wrote this, David Carnduff, in his book, Ireland's Lost Heritage, he said, "A case could be made for saying that a revival could be described as a visitation of God's Spirit on God's people, but an awakening is a time of such intense visitation that both the Christian and non-Christian communities are affected. Revivals alter the lives of individuals. Awakenings alter the worldview of a whole people or culture." And that's exactly what happened in the first Great Awakening preceding the birth of the United States of America. I have now read many secular accounts from the academic world, and it is the consensus that America was born out of the Great Awakening. One Harvard professor wrote that one cannot understand the colonial society that brought about the American Revolution without a study of the Great Awakening. Further on in the article, it even said that the language of the Declaration of Independence came out of the Great Awakening. The Longmeadow, Massachusetts Historical Society website carries an article entitled, "The Great Awakening and Its Effect on the Society and Religion of the Connecticut River Valley," by McCormick. And the article states, now this is writing about, this is the historical account and society writing of where it began. "The Great Awakening was a religious movement during the 1730s and 40s in which itinerant ministers presented powerful messages of salvation and which provided early Americans with a greater sense of nationality. One of the most notable points of origin was in the Connecticut River Valley under the leadership of Jonathan Edwards. The Great Awakening brought about a change of values that affected politics and daily life. These attributes were the beginnings of a sense of independence and equality that would set the stage for the American Revolution. And as the spirit of independence was proclaimed in the colonies by the Declaration of Independence, it was often the local clergy who rose to read to their congregations the words of that document which would spark independence in America. When I went back to look for a definition of the word awakening, I was surprised to see that in www.answers.com, they credited Jonathan Edwards with the word's origin. In the winter, and this is, I'm quoting them, in the winter of 1734 and 35, the mild-mannered Reverend Jonathan Edwards, minister of the church in Northampton, Massachusetts, was astounded. People actually were listening to his sermons and following his advice. Their talk turned to nothing but religion, and they began living godly lives, even the vainest and loosest, quote, even young people. And this behavior was spreading from Northampton to other towns up and down the Connecticut River Valley. In a famous letter published in 1736, Jonathan Edwards called this, quote, a general awakening. Now, these are my words from my book, Letters to Partners. I had read about Jonathan Edwards, but I've now come to admire a dedicated saint of God and how God could work through him to begin the first great awakening. Some particularly enlightening insight into his character came to me unexpectedly, supernaturally. At our family's New Year's gathering in 2009, I asked each one of my children and grandchildren to voice a resolution. My grandson, Cody Oakes, and his bride, Aubrey Pearson's Oakes, were with us. The next morning, Aubrey came to my place from the prayer cabin where they had stayed. She had in her hand a very old book that we had used to decorate the cabin. The name of the book was The Harper's Fifth Reader, published in 1889. Now, this means it's a school book. It's a reader. Its publisher's note read, quote, now listen, this was the purpose of this school book, to cultivate a spirit of patriotism and to inculcate a commendable pride in the achievement of our countrymen is one of the first duties of the school, of our schools. The reader's lessons were by authors such as George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Henry Ward Beecher, Julia Ward Howe, and it included resolutions by Jonathan Edwards, written when he was young. They show the bit of his resolve to live life, the life God anointed for great purpose. But I want to go back to the publisher's note, Terry, and I want you to talk about a gentleman you told me about the other day. This school book said, in its little purpose at the beginning of the book, to cultivate a spirit of patriotism and to inculcate a commendable pride in the achievements of our countrymen is one of the first duties of the schools. I want you to tell me that story you told me the other day.
Well, I was reading in my Patriot's Bible, by the way, which we carry. Mm-hmm. And
it's a wonderful Bible.
Wonderful Bible. And you get to see a lot of the foundations that you have been talking about in that Bible as you study. And I highly suggest it. And I came upon a story of a young man. His name was Mitchell Page. Probably, if not the highest decorated soldier in World War II, one of them for sure. And I read his story in this Bible. And he was raised by his mother in a small Pennsylvania town. When he had graduated from high school, he was 17 years old. She packed him a lunch, a little Bible. She marked a verse out in the little Bible, acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, and he will direct your path. And she told him, son, if you will do this, you have everything right here that will help you. So with that, with his Bible and his verse marked out, he walked for the Marine Corps recruiting station.
He had to walk from his farm to there.
Yes. I don't know. Somebody might have gave him a ride. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they did back mm-hmm. in those days. Mm-hmm. But that's how he took off. And they had trained him when he got in the Corps to go to the Solomon Islands. Now, that would be like a death sentence, really, because the enemy had been dug in there. They knew it was one of the most important part of the Pacific Theater to obtain. And so anyway, one night after terrible fighting, the morning broke. All his soldiers were dead or wounded. He was surrounded by dead Japanese soldiers, and he was bleeding terribly. And as he was looking for something that gauze to stop the bleeding, he noticed that little Bible popped open, and there was that verse in Proverbs: "Acknowledge the Lord in all that you do, and He will direct your path." What he did, they said, he single-handedly held back a whole regiment of Japanese soldiers by himself. They said when they would blow up one machine gun, he would go to the next and hold back and would not quit firing by himself. And then he did, after they were all gone and they still tried to attack, he grabbed his rifle and his bayonet and he fought them off. And they said because of what he did, we were able to get control of that island. And they asked him, as you can imagine, the press was just amazed. What causes a man to fight like this? What's in you? And he said, I go back to when I was taught in a three-room Pennsylvania schoolhouse, and our teachers taught us the glorious heritage of being American and what it meant and with God and what it meant to learn about Abraham Lincoln and George Washington. We felt like we could do anything.
And Valley Forge was right there.
Valley Forge, George Washington.
They were taught it.
Yes. We felt like we were part of this glorious connection with these men. And we are, Mom. And it's a Christian connection.
Sure.
A godly connection.
And he felt that he could do all of that because of what he learned at school.
What he learned from school.
And that's why revisionist history is a sad thing. And the history, the real history of America and of how we were born and of the destiny that we have is what we're going to be talking about today. And tomorrow is our country's 236th birthday. And tomorrow we will be celebrating what has been bought in blood for this nation.
The blood and the glory.
The blood and the glory. And we need now, we're going to be having a youth conference here, Youth Rally 2012. I'm going to be talking about some of these things there. You still got time to get your young person enrolled. You still got time to get some youth from your church. You just call us. This is Champions for Christ. You call us at 417-335-7680. That's 417-335-7680. We're going to find out tomorrow how that the great awakening that America was brought about began in the youth. It began with the young people. And we're believing for it again. An awakening that will bring America into its destiny. And this is Billy Brim, and we'll be back here tomorrow, and Terry will be with me as we're looking at these great and wondrous things. Happy 4th of July! Shalom!